So, what's in a name? We're just seconds away from a fascinating conversation about names with Kyle Hopkins. Kyle has traveled the world and now works as a tarot trainer. Our conversation about names is an interesting look at what they mean, what they can tell us about the person that we're meeting, and we also offer some name etiquette tips as well. Kyle Hopkins, coming up next. Insight on Business the News Hour is made possible through the support of the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, an international organization representing some original recyclers of agricultural parts, with members in the United States, Canada, Australia, Great Britain, and New Zealand. Learn more at ntpda.com.
Insight on Business the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of AARP Iowa. Real possibilities for people of every age. AARP Iowa and Country Vet Naturals. Loved by pets, trusted by owners. CountryVetNaturals.com.
It is the Business News Hour, and with me from Tarot International is Kyle Hopkins, a returning visitor to the Business News Hour. We're going to talk about something that you, who are listening, know something about, and that is names. Kyle, welcome back.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Michael. It's a pleasure.
Always. I learn something from you folks at Tarot. So let's break this down. What about names? What are we talking about?
Well, when we talk about names, it's a basic human, something that all humans share.
Right.
That we all have that commonality. However, often that commonality changes in different parts of the world.
You mean the physical structure of the name or how we call people by name?
That's right. We can think of it in many different ways, how it's spelled, nicknames. Often I've met people and then I find out their real name months or years later. And on the very basic level, if we want to communicate well with people in our neighborhood and around the world, we probably should know how to spell their name.
Do you think, maybe?
We can start there. And sometimes I've been spelling people's names how I thought it was, and it turned out to be wrong, whether it was a Y, not an I, or whatever, that something simple in my mind that I didn't even take the time or the effort to figure out how to spell their name. Now, this is amplified when we work with people, communicate with people all over the world.
Right, and you have traveled all over the world, so you've got a little experience here.
Yes, that's right, and I probably made all the mistakes that can be made, whether that's not putting an accent. For many times, I thought, if I spell it without the accent, it's still an A, but an A with a dot over it is different. And I had a couple of people say, hey, you're emailing me, but you're not emailing me. That's not my name.
Really?
So I had to go and download some accents. Or in some keyboards, you can press an A for a while, and then options come up with different accents. Or you can download languages that you can toggle between in your keyboard so you spell it right. Let's start with that.
So for example, if I were to spell Julian, okay, with the little dash up above, and there's no way on your keyboard to create that unless you know the keyboard secrets, yes?
Absolutely. That's a fantastic example. You might have to download some Spanish enyas or whatever those accents are. Some keyboards, if you hold the key for a while, you get options. Sometimes you should download the language, but certainly not all keyboards are the same. Just think about traveling overseas. You have a couple different letters in most European languages, let alone the Eastern Asian languages.
Wow. All right. So first of all, at its very basic structure, it's kind of nice to know how to, A, spell a name and pronounce that name correctly. Yeah?
That's right. The pronunciation is key as well. Often we do things for our own benefit. It's easy for me, but it might not be right. And sometimes people aren't going to confront you or address that with you if they think, well, they're not going to change or why bother? But we should be able to spell it and pronounce the name correctly.
And that takes some work on our part.
Absolutely, it takes some work. But something that we can do to make it less arduous,
yes,
is find out what it means. Most names have a meaning, especially in many places in the world, in many different cultures. if we can attach the story, the meaning behind a name, whether that's a common sounding name for us or a foreign sounding name, if we understand the background behind it, what's the story, what's the meaning, what's the context, we're going to remember it better, and we're going to get to know this person that much better because we understand that story behind how they got their name, what it means, and all of the meaning and impact in their life behind that.
And this is so critical for business. Kyle Hopkins is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. This is so incredibly important for business because we're now dealing on a global stage rather than just our back door oftentimes.
Absolutely. Even here in Iowa, we're selling commodities all over the world. Yes. We've got people visiting here to look at what exports we have leaving Iowa, all the great manufacturing we're doing, certainly. And there are researchers looking at long-term studies, what effect does your name have on your life?
So really? They
took people through childhood into adulthood and extrapolated because this person had a particular name. Certain events may have gone a certain way. Yeah, it's at UCLA primarily. So it's very interesting research that's out there. And, of course, it's been a long-term project. And that goes back to the meaning, the story behind it. Even very, what we would say, common North American names, we can find meaning and stories behind them as well. Maybe we left them behind, but
there are,
it's out there.
Absolutely. And if you know those stories, I'm so impressed that this is going in that direction because it does help you kind of put a remembrance on that name. For example, my name is Michael, okay? In Hebrew, it's Michael, okay? Which means he who is like God, interestingly enough, okay? Now, I don't pretend to be there, but it's an interesting, so if you know that, you know, it just, well, it makes for good cocktail conversation anyway.
Absolutely, and thank you for sharing that because what came to my mind? I'm thinking about Michael Jordan.
Ah.
I mean, whoa.
Yeah.
How appropriate. Person was a seminal figure in sports and what he accomplished. And
look at him, yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly. That's a great opportunity to get insights into people's culture, backgrounds, who they are as a person. And let's think about what happens with names as people move, as people migrate. And we've seen generations of that here in Iowa.
Yes.
We've had the Scandinavian immigrants come over 2-3 generations ago. Most of those are now Sorensen and Johnson and Thompson. But most of those names, including the first names, were given to them when they arrived. My relatives, among
it's
others,
true.
Was Torkild Vatni.
Torkild Vatni.
That's right. And, of course, he became Tom Johnson. They couldn't pronounce it in Ellis Island. They didn't understand this standard, typical Norwegian name. Oh, Torkild, yeah, that's Tom. Vatni, yeah, you're John's your dad. Okay, Johnson, go, next.
That's exactly what happened with our family, exactly.
And we all went through this experience, and it's happening in many generations throughout the world from immigrants coming from all over different parts of the world to the U.S. Here's an important point on that. That change of names was done for the person at Ellis Island's benefit, and they had in mind all the other people who were already in the United States and said, hey, life is going to be easier for you if you become a very Americanized name. Become a Johnson, exactly. However, what do we do with powerful figures? Kim Jong-un. Hey, it's not a name that we say every day, most of us in our day-to-day lives here in Iowa. Why don't we just say, you know what, let's make it Tim John Young. Yeah, hey.
Hey, Tim John Young, yeah.
Much easier. My point is, there's power when we change people's names or ask them to change their name. But this person is a powerful figure, positive or negative, that we in journalism in the U.S., we all can pronounce and understand that name. Whereas if somebody just came as an immigrant from anywhere in the world, we might, whether formally or informally, give them a more recognizable North American Iowa name.
Kyle Hopkins, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. I want to bounce a couple of things off of you, if I might. There has been a movement, and this movement has been going on for some time, especially in the Black community, where individuals who I know very well have changed their names to some form of an African type of name or a Muslim name. And I inquired about that one time, Kyle, and I said, so why are you doing it? Why are you changing your name from Robertson to Imhotep, you know? And the answer I got is this. Because my name, Robinson, was given to me by slave owners, my family, a long time ago, and I'm here to try to reclaim my original heritage. Make sense?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for bringing that up. That is a window to the power of names. They're looking back at what happened in history, and they're looking very clear-eyed and realizing what happened in history was not acceptable. It was not okay. So how do we address this historical grievance that continues until today? Well, why don't we start with ourselves? Why don't we start with how we identify ourselves, how we identify our identity, and the name is the logical place to start. Now, if other people have a hard time pronouncing or understanding that name, that is not their problem.
Oh, interesting. All right. You mentioned something a couple of minutes ago that I want to hone in on for just a moment, because one of the tools of business, of being a competent business person, is making every attempt that you can to call someone by the correct name, but also remembering those names. Tips, ideas?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the meaning, we remember in context.
Ah.
So if we can put the individual, their name, in a context, whether that's a particular organization, industry, how we met them, but also getting more information about them, learning about them. We know the names of people that we interact with frequently.
Mm-hmm.
So if we just have a short interaction with an individual, try to learn more about them. Try asking questions rather than talking yourself.
Be other-centered.
Yes, absolutely. Be other-centered, and that will also allow you to understand them in a context. Understandably, we can forget people's names. We can ask.
Mm-hmm.
We can bring it up. Oh, I know I met you the other day, and we'll probably remember the story they told us. We'll probably remember that they moved from Detroit. We'll probably remember that they really like baseball. See, I know you're a big Cubs fan. What was your name again?
Sure.
So remembering they're a Cubs fan is almost or more important than their name
right,
alone.
Right, it's the entree into the relationship that you start to build, and then, oh, got it, totally. Let me offer up another question, another story. One of the things that just drives me crazy is when people shorten people's names on their own. For example, I may meet somebody today and say, hey, good, nice to meet you. My name is Michael. And within 4 or 5 seconds, they're calling me Mike. Why do people do that?
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, because often we have Thomases. And say,
right.
Is Thomas or Tom? We should always ask before that we take the liberty
rather than assume.
To, in essence, change their name. That's right. I think there's a degree that we believe that that's building relationship.
Exactly.
That's building some kind of understanding between the two, and that may or may not be appropriate. It may or may not be something that is in the person's past. In other words, oh, I have a name, but everybody called me Mike instead of Michael growing up. And now I can join that tradition of from your childhood relating with you in that way, or I want to relate to you in that way, but it could backfire if that's not what you
trying
want.
Trying to create a familial status, but not actually having that status.
It's kind of specious. Yeah. It's kind of false and hollow. That's right.
It is. His name is Kyle Hopkins, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about names, the importance of names, and how it all works. And I know that goes for Roberts, it goes for Thomases, it goes for all of those folks who prefer, perhaps, not to be called by a nickname, but otherwise. Nicknames are kind of a big thing for some people, though, aren't they?
You know, I didn't know that Bill was short for William, and I have a good friend, Billy, that I grew up with. And then one day I found out his name wasn't Billy. That I don't know how Bill and William ever, maybe I'm just the only person who can't figure that out.
Yeah, right.
But yes, nicknames are a way to understand people. And actually, names provide acceptance into community. And so nickname is a way of saying, hey, you're in our gang. Hey, we're good friends. We've known each other a long time. I understand you. And that happens in cultural context as well. We talked about the power of names and the power to change somebody's name for my advantage, or a more powerful person forcing me to say their name correctly, like we do for political, economic leaders and figures around the world. But there's another phenomena where a community may accept a former outsider by giving them a name from their community.
Really?
Sure. If you think about people study abroad, and they might work and live and study in China, for example. And often people say, oh, my Chinese name is so-and-so.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, but in Mexico, I am so-and-so. And that's a way for the local community to say, hey, we want you to feel comfortable and to be a part. And this is part of joining our culture, our society, and our group.
And I've had that happen. I have a friend that owns a Puerto Rican restaurant. And one of the things, and of course, when I go to the Puerto Rican restaurant, I am no longer Michael, I'm Miguel.
Sure.
So it can be a sense of acceptance, yes?
Absolutely. That's right. So your friend is saying, hey, I'm going to tell you you're important to me because Michael is not familial, common in Puerto Rico, but Miguel, sure, you're okay.
Interesting.
Come on in.
Wow. We're talking about names, the importance of names, how to remember names with Kyle Hopkins of Tarot International. Fascinating conversation. Yeah, and you get to teach this?
It's
part of this, yes?
That's right. It's a thread that goes throughout many of our different programs that we offer and the workshops. And we mainly are going to help people focus on what messages am I sending? How am I being perceived? If I'm affixing nicknames to people without their consent or without them asking me to do so, what message am I sending? Am I meeting my goals? Am I communicating well? Am I being persuasive, or am I just being a jerk?
Kyle Hopkins, ladies and gentlemen, the importance of names. And for all of us who struggle from time to time, one of the first things, and I just read a piece about this the other day, is stop telling yourself that you're bad with names and start telling yourself you're good with names. And that might just spur you on to being good with names. Accurate?
Absolutely. We all do self-talk.
Yeah, we do.
And I'm sure there's a lot of research that would back up what you're saying, Michael, that if we tell ourselves we can or cannot do something, that's half the battle. And then the other part is admitting to ourselves that it's important. Saying, I'm not very good at it, but this is important.
Right.
And how many things in our life have we gotten better at because we decided, well,
This is important.
That's right.
It makes sense. Kyle, thanks for doing this.
My pleasure. Thank you.
What a fascinating conversation about names. What they mean, how important it is that we know the name, that we can pronounce the name, that we call a person by the correct name. It's all good for business. We'll have links, of course, to Tarot International up on our radio blog. All right, that about wraps it up for another edition of the Business News Hour for all of us that put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing falls to Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Kyle Hopkins, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening. Be safe, be well, be careful most of all. Be good to your fellow man. Good day.